Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a very special Father's Day edition of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. After 15 years with the New York Giants, Michael Strahan calls it quits. The New York Mets are struggling a bit. Willie Randolph hanging by a thread. And the Yankees are 4 games above 500. We have all that and more coming your way next on Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Brandoff, and happy Father's Day, everyone.
It is a great Father's Day, and in honor of Father's Day, we actually have my father and Evan's father on the line with us, Neil Wishnia and Mark Brandoff. So, fathers, it's a pleasure to have you on tonight.
Oh, thank you. Very nice to be on.
Thank you very much for coming, and it's great to celebrate once again another year of Father's Day, and you guys are certainly two of the best fathers we could ask for, so it's great to have you guys on.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys.
Well, you know, my dad has some broadcasting experience back in the day, did some at Queens College, did a commercial on the radio, introduced some band on the radio back in the day. Now he's employed with Maxwell Cates, Inc., a real estate company in New York City. So that's what he's doing now. We're going to ask them both about sports. How's your dad doing, Evan?
Why don't we ask him? How you doing, Dad?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you tonight?
We're doing all right. My dad does not have any broadcasting experience, but he likes to watch sports, so he's a knowledgeable guy. And Mark, what's the first question we want to ask them?
Well, we want to start you guys off. You know, Willie Randolph, there's been a lot of talk about him being fired very shortly. He's on a very thin leash right now. So let's start with Mark Brandoff, Evan's dad. What are your opinions of Willie Randolph at the moment?
I don't think he should be fired. I think that from a managerial point of view, I don't think he's done anything that's terrible. I think he hasn't mishandled his bullpen. He hasn't put a lineup out there that's not capable of winning, or at least on paper not capable of winning. The last several games, his closer blew the game. If anything, I think the real problem is that they're not hitting when they should be. So the person I think I might be looking at is the hitting coach, not the manager.
Interesting.
And now we'll move over to my dad, Neil Wishnia. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think Willie Randolph has done a very capable job. And even if you look at just today's doubleheader, it's a perfect example of a team, certainly not laying down for their manager. I mean, the Mets split a doubleheader today, but they overcame a huge deficit in the first game. They were down 7-1. I believe they ended up losing 8-7. So that doesn't look like a team that lacks motivation and is not trying to play hard for their manager. And if you just examine the strategy and think about what you would have done in a similar situation in a lot of these games the Mets lost, I think you probably, as a manager or as a baseball analyst, would have said that he made the right moves and that the Mets basically just didn't execute. I mean, it's true that the closer blew 3 games in a row of multiple run leads. And who do you bring in when you have a 1 or 2 run lead in the 9th inning? You bring in your closer. I mean, that's the right decision to make. I mean, historically, Billy Wagner's been one of the best in the game over a number of years. So, obviously, that's the guy who's paid to close out games. He failed on 3 separate occasions. He happened just now, a couple of minutes ago, to close out the 2nd game of tonight's doubleheader. And, of course, the Mets held on to win. They won this series 2 out of 3 from Texas. And I agree with Mark Randolph. Willie Randolph does not deserve to be fired.
Very interesting. I agree with both of you guys.
Yeah, it's good to get the opinions of some of these fathers around New York to see what they think of Willie Randolph, and I agree with them too. I don't believe that Willie Randolph should get fired, and once we let them go, we'll get more in detail on that. But we want to ask you guys one more question before we let you go and continue on your fatherly duties and whatever it is you're doing. And I know both of you are Yankee fans, and of course this year is the last season of Yankee Stadium, or at least this current Yankee Stadium. So I want to ask both of you what you think your favorite Yankee Stadium moment is. So this time let's start with my dad, Neil Wishnia. What is your favorite Yankee Stadium moment?
Well, I have many, but if I had to pick one, and this is the same one I've told people over the years whenever I ask that question, is Game 3 of the 1964 World Series between the Yankees and the St. Louis Cardinals. The game was tied 1-1 going into the bottom half of the ninth inning. St. Louis had just changed pitches, bringing in Barney Schultz, a knuckleballer, to face Mickey Mantle, who would have led off the bottom of the ninth inning, who was actually leading off in the bottom of the ninth inning. And as the story goes, and I read this actually in the 1965 Yankee yearbook, and I saw the game on television, but apparently when Mantle was passing Elston Howard, who would have been the second hitter up in that inning, he told Elston Howard he need not get ready because I'm ending the game right now. Mantle, who had never called a home run or had never done any predicting of that sort in his entire career, did call that shot and ended up hitting a game-winning walk-off home run against Barney Schultz to win the third game 2-1 for the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. And, of course, as a 9-year-old kid and being a Yankee fan, you know, that particular moment is stuck in my mind all these years, and I still consider that my favorite Yankee Stadium moment. I wasn't there, but I was watching on television. And then that's my moment.
Very exciting.
Yeah. That sounds like an exciting moment. So now let's move on to Evan's dad, Mark Randolph. What is your favorite Yankee Stadium moment?
Well, I must have been about 12 years old. I went to Yankee Stadium with my father. It was 1961, so you're talking the old stadium before they did the conversion. It had all the columns and the short porch and all of the other things that everybody who knew the old Yankee Stadium remembered. And that was the year when Maris and Mantle were battling for who was going to be the home run king. And as I recall, we were at the stadium just a few games before the end of the season. I couldn't tell you exactly what the date was. And both of them, each of Mantle and Maris, hit a home run during that game, which blew me away. It was so exciting. Because, you know, here I am, 12 years old, watching these guys cream the ball. And it just, I'll never forget it. So that's my Yankee Stadium memory.
Sounds like fun.
Both memories involving the same player, and those must have been great experiences. I wish I was alive back then to experience Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris and all those great players in their prime.
Well, it was a great era in those days, from 1960 to 64, which was in the very beginning, you know, years for myself as being a Yankee fan. They won 5 American League pennants in a row, a couple of world championships, and then things went south in 1965 for about a decade. And then when they went back to the refurbished stadium in 76, they started to win again. And, those were great years in the early 60s. Definitely, you're right on target there.
Yeah, that team was unbelievable.
I'm sure it was. It certainly sounds like it. But we'll let you guys go now, and we appreciate you coming on this very special Father's Day.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me as well. Have a good show, guys. Enjoyed being on it.
Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you.
And happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, so those were our dads. Brought them on for Father's Day. It was enjoyable to speak to them, for sure. Definitely a first for this show. I thought it was appropriate. And if anybody heard our Mother's Day episode, we didn't have the mothers on not for any particular reason, but we did have Darrell Revis on that day. So we didn't really have time to fit the mothers into the schedule there, so I don't want anybody to be offended or anything, but we did have time to bring the fathers on Father's Day, so they did join us, and again, we thank them, and a very happy Father's Day to everybody, and especially the fathers.
Yeah, and I also think that I don't think my mom would have been the best guest on Mother's Day. I don't really think she knows anything about sports. She probably could have told you that Derek Jeter is cute, but I don't think that would have been appropriate.
Well, I'm happy to say that I don't have the same problem with my mom. She does inform me a lot. She gets up at like 4 a.m., which is sometimes annoying, but when I wake up, she's already read the whole entire sports section of the newspaper and sometimes fills me in on what's going on. So she's into sports. She wouldn't be a horrible guest by any means, but again, we didn't really have the time. But 10 minutes going by in our show. I want to get started, and before we do, I want to let all the fans know we are relying on your calls today. You can call in. You could have your father's call in. If you are a father, you know, whatever it is, call in, speak your mind. If you have something to say about Willie Randolph, Michael Strahan retiring, which we're going to get to in a moment, New York Yankees now 4 games above 500, the job of transition, whatever it is you want to talk about, go ahead, call us. The number to call is 718-508-9443. If you're really not a fan of being on air, you're a little nervous or, you know, whatever the situation, you could IM us on AOL Instant Messenger at gmen 1021-1780. And if you have a Blog Talk Radio account, you could just simply talk in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. So let's get started with the show. And there's a lot of Yankees and Mets, and we just spoke a little bit about it with our dads. But before we do that, I wanted to speak about the New York Giants because some big news did happen in the past week. Michael Strahan, 15 years with the New York Giants, a great defensive end, one of the best in the game. He has retired. He called it quits. He held out last year, had some thoughts of retiring. He played last season, got a Super Bowl ring, and just before the start of minicamp this season, he said, I had enough, I have my ring, and he called it quits. So Strahan is gone, and I think the Giants, you know, I don't think they're in a lot of trouble with the retiring. They've been preparing for him to retire for a long time. The Giants, you know, with him holding out last year, sort of had some thoughts last year that he wouldn't continue the season. So they were kind of ready to go on with him last year. He was holding out, and Giants said, okay, whatever, we'll move on. We don't need you. So they've always, you know, they've been prepared for him to retire. They knew it was going to happen. In every draft, they always take a defensive end. I believe they took a couple last year. They did take one as their last pick of the draft this year. And, of course, they have Umanyora. They have Justin Tuck. They have Tolleson. They have the draft pick that they had this year. Kiwanuka, who they transitioned to a linebacker a couple of years ago, he was hurt last year, so he didn't really play. If they have to, you know, he was drafted as a defensive end, so they have him. So these defensive ends that they have are very good. So they're not really in a lot of trouble with Michael Strahan, but he was great. He was a presence on the field. You know, he would be double-teamed a lot, which would give room to Umanyora on the other side. You don't have that same presence anymore, but, you know, that's the bottom line with that. Evan, what are your opinions of the retiring of Michael Strahan?
He was a great player. He'll always be remembered, just record-setting. And, you know, Mark, I was just thinking about it. I don't know if it has to do anything with the Giants or their coach or anything, but now the last two players to retire on the Giants, him and Tiki Barber, went out when they were still playing incredible. Do you think that has anything to do with that they're just not enjoying playing for the Giants, or do you think that they just both happen to want to retire?
Well, I know Tiki Barber was a person who wanted to end his career on a high note. He didn't, you know, Tiki Barber retired at a much younger age than Michael Strahan did. Strahan, you know, he's a little bit older than Tiki Barber. And Tiki Barber didn't want to be one of those players where at the end of his career when he was older, he was constantly injured and then he didn't play most of the season and his stats weren't that good. You know, it happens all the time with players. One that I could give you a perfect example of, it's not in football, but you know, Babe Ruth, I mean, he reached a time in his career, he couldn't even run the bases anymore. He really struggled at the end of his career. And there's been tons of players with that in every sport throughout history. And Tiki Barber just did not want to be one of those guys. And he had ended his career on an extremely high note, which is exactly what he wanted. Strahan, you know, he's older. You expected him to retire because of his age and You know, he's been good for his whole career, so he ended on a high note anyway. But I think those are really the reasons. Strahan really is older, so it's not a surprise that he retired, and Tiki Barber did not want to be one of those guys that ended, you know, at the end, and I don't know if they didn't want to play for the Giants. You can argue that for Tiki Barber if you wanted to, because, you know, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but Strahan just won the Super Bowl with the Giants last year, and he's been there for 15 years, so to argue that he doesn't want to play there is, in my opinion, a little bit ridiculous.
Not argue that he doesn't want to play there. Just weird that both players. You don't see it that much these days that players go out on top. I guess it's nice to see players go out on top, and now they're always remembered as being great.
I agree. I want to take the call. A caller. We have a caller on the line, so I want to take that before we continue. It's a 516 area code. You're on the air at Sports 7 with Mark and Evan. 516 area code. You are on the air.
Oh, hi. I just want to know what you think of Derek Jeter.
Well, currently, you know, he's been pretty good with runners in scoring position, not fantastic. He's not having, you know, a particular year that's over the top by any means. But, I mean, there's nothing really special going on with him right now. But he's a great player.
Yeah, he is, and he has a lot of nice past records. Do you think the Yankees will go far this year?
I think they could. They've won four in a row. They're now four games above 500. And speaking of Derek Jeter and his record, he's sitting on 199 career home runs, so he'll very shortly have 200 home runs for his career. So that's very exciting for him.
That is exciting for him. I hope he scores some more home runs.
I'm sure he will.
Thank you very much for your
call. All right, thank you.
All right, so thank you for the call. And it caught me off guard because Derek Jeter, you know, he's a great player. Nothing significant going on with him at the moment. He's a great player, though, and we do appreciate the phone call.
He has a lot of milestones, and like I said earlier in the show, he's a girl's favorite, so.
And he has a lot of career hits. He's going to be amongst the top leader in hits in his career. So he's going to be, you know, a record setter there. So that is just excellent for Derek Jeter. I want to steer back to Michael Strahan, though, back on what we were talking about. And what we were pretty much saying is that you had mentioned it's very interesting to see these guys go out on a high note. We haven't, you know, we don't really see that anymore, and or at least we haven't seen it in a while. And I think you're absolutely correct about that. But I don't think it's really that surprising. Tiki Barber kind of caught people off guard, but what could potentially be good with the Giants, you know, obviously Tiki Barber was able to be replaced. Brandon Jacobs did fine. The draft pick Ahmad Bradshaw. Derek Ward, who got hurt, I mean, they all filled in well for him. So Tiki Barber wasn't really missed too heavily. And then, of course, they went on to win the Super Bowl. I already mentioned why Michael Strahan might not be missed too much. Although, again, he is a presence on the field with that, you know, where he would get double-teamed. The guys that will be filling in for him, at least at the moment, most likely will not be double-teamed to open up one side. But those are the good thing that I was going to say is Tiki Barber and Michael Strahan, they like to do a lot of talking, and it's not really great for the locker room. Both of them were fantastic leaders, but, you know, they talk a lot to the media. There's a lot of controversy that surrounds them, and I think that it could be good for the Giants to get those guys out of there. Now there's really only one more guy that they need to get out of there that talks a lot. That's Jeremy Shockey. He got into an argument with Jerry Reese, the general manager, a couple of days ago. So he wants to be traded. And I don't know if the Giants will trade him. Shockey certainly wants it, so he's doing a lot of talking. But once Shockey's gone, I think you won't hear much talking come out of the locker room. And while we're on the topic of the Giants, Plexico Burress, he's at minicamp, but he's not practicing until he gets a new contract. So him and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, are working on that to try and make a new contract for him. He has 3 years remaining on a six-year contract, and we'll see what happens with that. That is a guy that certainly will be missed. I mean, you know, Tiki, he wasn't missed. They won the Super Bowl. Strahan, there's a lot of people to replace him. Jeremy Shockey, he was hurt most of the year. Kevin Boss, is a great receiver tight end, and then they have Michael Matthews, who's a good blocker. So I don't know how much Jeremy Shockey would be missed either, because they won the Super Bowl when he was hurt. So you have three guys who talk a lot and three guys who, you know, don't necessarily need to be there for the
game. Yeah, but Michael Strahan, he may talk a lot. He's a leader.
Strahan's probably the most arguable out of the three guys.
You can say that about anyone, then. You don't need anyone. If you need someone, then you're not a good team if you need one. If you're relying on one player in order to be successful.
Right.
So you don't need anyone, but the fact that Strahan's leaving will hurt them.
He's
a leader not only on the field, but not only is he a great player, but he's also a leader off the field. Players look up to him. He's a great people's person. He's going to be in broadcasting next year, I'm sure. He's definitely going to be on TV. So,
yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. I mean, I'm not saying Michael Strahan's not going to be unnoticeable. I mean, you will notice the fact that he is gone, but I don't think Giants fans will be watching next season and realize, oh my God, they have zero sacks on the year in the fourth week. They're doing nothing. I mean, you'll notice he's gone because it'll be, you know, somewhat worse, but it's not going to be so significant that the Giants defensive line will be like will just collapse completely. You're not going to see that, and they still have a great defensive leader at middle linebacker in Antonio Pierce. He's a fantastic leader. He can lead that team. And I'm just saying that Michael Strahan gone will not just be a complete breakdown, but yeah, he will certainly be missed, and you will certainly notice that he's gone. I'm just saying that the Giants do have some good replacements where it's not going to be a huge issue for the Giants.
Mm-hmm. And
but it is only June, and I don't want to spend a whole show on football at this point. So with 40 minutes remaining, let's talk baseball. But why don't we take a little commercial break first? We'll take a 3-minute timeout. Maybe line up some callers if anybody wants to call in at 718-508-9443. And we'll come back, talk some Mets, talk some Yankees, and we'll be right back.
Why is Sports Center with Mark and Evan the best sports radio show for you to tune into? We've had Newsday sports writer Jim Bandback on our show.
The baseball season is so long, and then it's long enough where you can play so poorly for, you know, we're not talking, 2 weeks here. They were playing poorly for over a month.
NHL.com's Evan Grossman has been on our show.
This work, this unstoppable force that everybody thought they were after winning all the Rangers. And then the Rangers were actually a little bit better against them than the Islanders were. They weren't quite as physical. And I don't think the Rangers defense is as good as under them. But
we have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Post, Mark Hale, on our show.
The Mets not just being a good team or a competitive team, but the Mets being consistently over the last year and a half one of the two or three best teams in baseball.
And, of course, we've had New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox announcer Kenny Albert on our show.
Back-to-back-to-back, Ramirez, Rubel, Veritek, the rookie Chase Wright is making only his second career start. Four consecutive Red Sox home runs in the third inning.
We have even had NBC sports anchor Bruce Beck on our show.
And now the guy that was the stable guy, Mark and Evan, is gone, Joe Torre. And now it looks again like there's a big Steinbrenner, you know, who's running the show, and that's Hank. And I think he's the guy that's got his dad's personality in terms of a little bit of a temper and who knows what's going to happen here with all these free agents.
In addition, we've had Yankees beat writer for MLB.com, Brian Hoke, on our show.
You know, if the Yankees faltered like they did in the first half, I could see a real situation where they're in third or even as low as fourth. Probably not fourth, but I could see a situation where the Yankees finish in third place.
And the list just continues on. We have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Daily News, Adam Rubin, on our show.
I don't think they're a lock by any stretch. I think they're certainly the favorite in the NL East. Certainly injuries can undermine the Mets, and they're the oldest team in baseball, so it's certainly susceptible to that.
And it doesn't end there. We have also had New York Jets cornerback Darrell Revis on our show.
So, overall, how satisfied are you in the way that you played your rookie season?
I'm not, Jeffy. My uncle, he's my biggest critic. And the year has passed, and it's a new year. It's a lot of more things that when I look back on film, I could have did better. And, you know, now this is my second year to, you know, overcome that and do a lot more positive things if I can.
You're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the Internet can handle.
All right, welcome back to a special Father's Day edition of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. We started off the show with both our dads with us to get some Mets and Yankee talk going on. And, you know, just to celebrate Father's Day, we spoke about the retiring of Michael Strahan and other things surrounding the New York Giants at the moment. But it's now baseball season, and we're going to spend the next half hour plus working on that. So let's start with the New York Mets, who today played a doubleheader after a rainout yesterday. They were down, I believe, at 1.7-0 today, or 7-3 in the first game, and they battled back and ended up losing 8-7. It was a pretty good job by the New York Mets in that first game, but they just were unable to follow through, so they lost 8-7. And then in the second game, they won 4-2, so now they have lost 7 of their last 10 games. They won this series, as my dad said at the top of the show, 2 out of 3. And Billy Wagner today got the save, which is his first save in 4 attempts. He's blown 3 of his last 4 attempts. Billy Wagner has just been terrible, and I kind of want to tie in Willie Randolph with Billy Wagner because, you know, the Mets got off to a very slow start, and they're still off to not a very good start. They're not in a good position right now at all. But over the past week, we've heard a lot of Willie Randolph, Willie Randolph, Willie Randolph. And then there were reports. I mean, John Heyman of Sports Illustrated reported, I believe, on Friday that Willie Randolph could be gone as early as this weekend. But they did win the other day. I believe they won on Friday, and they won. Yeah, they won on Friday. They won today. So you're not going to fire him after a win, of course. And the first game today, they did well. They rallied back, as I said. But also, as my dad said at the beginning of the show, with Willie Randolph, when we asked him, he took the words right out of my mouth. What did I was going to say? I mean, he hasn't done anything wrong in the past week to really receive the criticism. If you want to argue some bad moves that he's made early in the season, going to the bullpen or taking a pitcher out, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's fine to do that. It happens all the time with managers. But, I mean, you go back to last Sunday, the afternoon, our show was that night, and we talked about Billy Wagner blowing a save. He blew a save on Wednesday. He blew a save on Thursday and then got the save today. But, you know, if you take Thursday, for example, you have Johan Santana pitching. He throws 7 scoreless innings, does a great job. The Mets have 4 runs of offense. The bullpen came in and, you know, in the 8th inning and gave up 2 runs. So it's 4-2. You're going to the 9th inning. I mean, what are you going to do? Willie Randolph brings in his closer. And, I mean, it's not Willie Randolph's fault if Billy Wagner blows the save. I mean, there's really nothing you can do about it. But the fact is that he blew the 3 saves and the Mets kept losing. And a lot of times the manager does get blamed. And, you know, Evan and I both said before we don't think he should be fired. And this is the reason I don't think he should be fired. I mean, you can't blame it on the bullpen like that. I mean, Billy Wagner goes up and blows the save. What's Willie Randolph supposed to do? I mean, you bring your closer in the save situation. And the only way I could argue that you want to fire Willie Randolph, which I guess is okay to do, again, ever since he came to the Mets, he's only been to the playoffs once. And if you want to just give the Mets a wake-up call, you know, you fire the manager and the players are like, you know, oh my God, our manager's gone. You know, most likely the bench coach, Jerry Manuel, would take over. And if you want to give the Mets a wake-up call, if you feel they really need a big kick in the butt and a wake-up call, firing Willie Randolph, in my opinion, would be the right idea. So that is my whole rant on Willie Randolph. And I would like to hear yours, Evan. What do you have to say regarding Willie Randolph?
Well, what I have to say regarding Billy Wagner, who's been blowing the saves lately, is that I just think that he's really starting to get over the cliff. If you've watched Billy Wagner over his career, he's never been a pitcher that just goes in there, gets 3 outs, and ends the game. He's always been a pitcher that it seems like he always has at least 2 base runners on in the 9th inning. He's never been a blow-away pitcher. He's been very successful in his career, but his whip is a lot higher than his ERA. he lets up a lot of base runners, and now not only is he letting up base runners, but he's starting to let them score. And I think that this just shows his fatigue. He's getting old. And I think that it's – he says that he wants to retire after next season, I think. He made reports last month or a couple months ago saying, I think he wants to retire after next season. And he's just getting old, and Mets have bullpen problems just like the Yankees, but we'll talk about the Yankees later. So, and then back with Willie Randolph. You know, I just don't think that, yeah, he hasn't done anything wrong the last week, but he just hasn't been a great manager. And you said that the Mets need a wake-up call, and firing Willie may be their wake-up call, but threatening Willie could also be a wake-up call. So, you know, hopefully the Mets will start playing. They want to play for Willie Randolph. I don't think they want a new manager. I'm pretty sure the Mets like Willie. He hasn't had great success so far, but it's not. I really don't think it's his fault. It's the player's fault. So it's going to be interesting what happens now, because the Mets, they just got a new player. They just got Trout Nixon. So hopefully that can help them out. They're very sluggish in their outfield. But their pitching's old. Pedro, you can't rely on him to be as dominant as he once was. You can count on him for keeping the Mets in a game. You can't count on him for winning a game. So, Pedro Martinez. And so the Mets are in trouble. Injuries. Church is still out. He went on the DL because of his concussion. We've been talking about in past shows. Did they handle the injury properly? And now he's finally on the DL, so I guess not. If he was once playing and now all of a sudden he's on the DL. He still has pressure in his head. Moises Alou just came back, though. He came back and he's been pinch hitting. He's been doing well. He's the only Mets hitter, it seems like. They can bat over 300. No one in the starting lineup is batting over 300. So like my dad said before, maybe you need a new pitching coach. Because when you look at their lineup, they have batters that have been great in the past. They're just not performing. David Wright should be batting over 300. Jose Reyes, another batter, who's, I'm not sure if he usually bats over 300. I'm not sure his normal batting average, but he's just not performing the way he should be, along with Carlos Delgado, who everyone hates. He's really been the Mets' offense the last few weeks. Carlos Beltran, I think he has 4 home runs. He's the cleanup hitter for the New York Mets. There has to be changes made. I don't know if firing Willie is the proper change, though.
I agree. Has Alou come back? I thought he was still on the DL. I don't know.
He's come back.
All right, but I agree with you. Warning Willie Randolph could certainly be a wake-up call. You know, I don't know if it is as much as firing him, but again, you know, the one playoff, and you can't forget last year. Last year he suffered the biggest collapse in Major League Baseball
history. But then you'd fire him. You'd fire him after last year then. You wouldn't fire him in the mid-season of the next season.
Well, hold on.
If you're going to fire him.
He suffered the big collapse last year, and what I'm trying to say is that it's carried over into this year, because starting in about middle September last year, you know, the Mets were, I believe, up 7 games with 17 games to go. They're up 7 games, 17 games to go, and they did not make the playoffs. And now this year, they're off to this awful start. What I'm trying to say is they gave Willie Randolph another shot after the collapse. And now you get to a point, you've played almost 70 games in the season, and the Mets are still not doing anything. So starting mid-September of last year, he's done nothing with the Mets. The Mets have played poorly since mid-September last year. So that now might be the time when you say, okay, we gave you a shot after the collapse, you're still doing nothing. See ya. I mean, again, though, in the last week or whatever, with Billy Wagner blowing the saves, can't blame him, but you know, we have seen him fail in the past.
Mm-hmm. I'm changing the topic for 1 second. Tiger Woods is entering the 18th hole of the last round of the U.S. Open. Who he's been injured, he's been limping, but he's still only one stroke behind the leader. And during the last hole, he's playing with Westwood, who is also one stroke behind the leader. So, you know, a birdie will make a playoff with Mediate, I think you pronounce it, who's one under par for the tournament. I think he's 44 years old. If he wins, he'd be the oldest player to ever win the U.S. Open. He had to qualify for it. And interesting stuff going on in golf. And Tiger Woods, you see him limping, not his best day today. If it wasn't for those magical six holes that he had yesterday, that it was five under in the last six holes, yeah, he would be way out of this. So, Tiger
last
Woods...
Year, excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah, yesterday was amazing. Was it three eagles he had?
He had two eagles and a birdie in the last six holes. It was incredible if you were watching. But other than that, he's been very, very mediocre. And my brother's an orthopedic surgeon. He looked at the surgery that Tiger had, and Tiger's going to need cartilage replacement during the off season. He's a hurting puppy, and they may have rushed him back because you see him limping, and you don't. This could be one of those tournaments that he comes up, he just misses making it, he just misses winning, and then it turns out he ended up injuring his knee, and he's still in his prime. He's entering his prime, believe it or not.
He's 33, right?
Month. Yeah. And
32, 33, I think. Yeah.
Look at him wincing after his shot.
Yeah, I mean...
He's in the bunker. It's not looking like he's going to get his birdie after that first shot.
I mean, I can't really follow up those comments because I don't really watch golf too much. I mean, I'm sort of following up on it. But I noticed we had a caller before. I'm not really sure how long you were waiting, and we apologize for any delay to people waiting on hold. We promise we will get to your calls. So the caller who was just on a few moments ago that hung up, if you would like to call back, feel free and go ahead. But let's move back into baseball right now. I think we pretty much summed up Willie Randolph, Billy Wagner, and the New York Mets. But I do want to actually, you did bring up Trot Nixon. I want to go on to him for a second before we move on to the New York Yankees. I think that the acquisition of Trot Nixon will be very good for the Mets. They got him from the Diamondbacks. I think he's a great player. I think he certainly could bring a boost to the team. And I like the acquisition of Trot Nixon. Not really much I could say. I mean, they just got him. It's not like he's done anything spectacular, but, you know, he's very good, against right-handed batters, and I think he'll be playing a lot against pitchers. I think he'll be playing a lot against right-handed pitchers, and I think he'll do well. So I like the acquisition there by the New York Mets. I like how they did do something, so that is positive to the Mets fans. And I'm just kind of sitting back, you know, just saying, hey, fire Willie or fire the batting coach or whoever it is you want to fire. They are doing something. They brought in Trot Nixon. I thought that was a good move. And, Evan, do you have anything to add with Trot Nixon?
Hopefully he'll help out the struggling outfield that the Mets have. The Mets have a lot of holes in their outfield and their lineup, and Trot Nixon is no all-star, but he's a very solid player. He's been solid his whole career, and he's a good player to have on any team. Any team could use a Trot Nixon. He just always has never spectacular numbers, but he's reliable. He's a reliable player. You know what you're going to get with him, and I think he's going to help the Mets out.
All right, we have that caller back on the line. It's a 516 area code, and you are on the air, 516 area code.
Hi.
You are on the air.
Hi.
Who should be the Yankees' eighth inning pitcher to set up Mariano Rivera?
That is actually a very good question. With the New York Yankees transitioning Jabba Chamberlain to a starter, and you have, you know, sometimes guys like Hawkins and Farnsworth and whoever it is struggling, that is a little bit of a hole for the New York Yankees. But I think if Kyle Farnsworth is effective, because he is, you know, at least similar to Jabba in the fact that he throws hard, you know, he throws 97 miles per hour, and on a good night, I mean, he can be a very effective pitcher. So if they could work with Kyle Farnsworth, I mean, he's probably the best fit as a setup man. They really brought him in as a setup man. That's who they had before Jabba Chamberlain. And I think with the current bullpen that they have right now, aside from going out and getting anybody, I think Kyle Farnsworth would be the best guy. What do you think, Evan?
Well, right now Farnsworth, but Dan Novick, who was on the show last week, said that the Yankees have a lot of great pitchers in the farm system, so hopefully they'll, by the end of the season, the Yankees will have someone maybe even better than Farnsworth if Farnsworth doesn't end up being the great setup man that we want him to be.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
So, again, that was actually a very good question. We appreciate the calls. Anyone else who wants to call out there, I believe that's the same caller we had on earlier. You call us, 718-508-9443, and I think that caller brought us into a good transition to the New York Yankees. As that eighth inning spot is a big hole, let's talk about the New York Yankees in the last remaining 20 minutes. It's been a good couple of days for the New York Yankees. They've been doing much better. They've won four straight. They just swept the Houston Astros in Houston, and you know, now they're four games above 500. They're still in third place. They're still, you know, 6.5 games back, so they still have a big hill to climb. The Red Sox are now in first. Tampa Bay starting to fall a little bit. They're in second place, 2.5 games back. So the Yankees still have a lot of work, but I do like how they've been doing. Jobba Chamberlain had a fantastic outing. His last time was on a 95-pitch count, and I believe he went six solid innings, allowed six hits, one run. If I'm remembering correctly, it was a beautiful, beautiful start by Jobba Chamberlain. His next outing, he won't have a pitch count. He's now, the transition is fully over. There's no pitch counts or anything. He's just going, and that's it. I mean, he is a full-fledged starting pitcher for the New York Yankees now. And after his last outing, I mean, we're not going to get into, you know, without getting into the whole bullpen thing and the replacing him with the setup man, I am happy with him in the rotation. I think he's going to do a good job, and in his last couple of outings, he's shown us that he can do a good job. So that was excellent by Jobba Chamberlain. And then other news, today Chien-Ming Wong had a great outing. He went five innings, didn't allow a run. I believe it was six hits, struck out three. He did not have any walks, but with first and second, he came up to bunt. And he was unsuccessful on the sacrifice, and he tried to get the runners to second and third, but instead they threw the runner out at third. It was first and second. So later on, Chien-Ming Wong, on a two-run single by Derek Jeter, came around to score, and right as he passed third base, he started hobbling, and he needed some help walking off the field. He injured his foot after the game. The Yankees called it a sprain. He's going in for an MRI tomorrow, so you know, we've already had Ian Kennedy and Phil Hughes hurt. You know, they brought in Darryl Rasner to fill in some holes, and, of course, Jobba Chamberlain. I don't know what the deal with Chien-Ming Wong is. It's too early. He only hurt himself a couple of hours ago. And as I said, he'll be checked out and examined tomorrow. As of right now, it's a sprained foot. And if it remains just a sprained foot, he probably could go without missing a start. He's listed as day-to-day.
Well, which foot is it?
It is his right foot.
So that is his push-off foot. So,
I mean, he's either. I mean, he couldn't walk. I mean, it's either way. I don't know. I mean, I think it hurt him a lot, but I don't know what it's going to be like by the time his next start rolls around, if it'll be in pain. But if it is something more serious than we think, now the Yankees have run into another issue after now going four games above 500. You know, you don't want who the Yankees call their ace, Chien-Ming Wong, out of the rotation. And then, you know, we only have a weekly show, so I don't know if he's going to start or not. So I guess we might as well go ahead and say who we think his replacement will be, assuming it is more serious. And, you know, I think Ian Kennedy might be eligible very soon or already is eligible. So I don't know if he'll make his way into the lineup. I'll have to check on that.
You know, he can come back pretty soon.
Carl Pavano's not ready till July. You're going to say Pavano, right?
Yeah.
He's not ready till July, so that's not soon enough for Wong's next one or two starts. And I don't think he's going to pitch anyway. But I think Ian Kennedy's able to come back very soon. He was on the 15-day DL as of have to look that up. I'll get that for you in a second. But Ian Kennedy possibly could be his replacement. If he's not eligible, if I am wrong, I'm thinking maybe Dan Geis, who has been the guy who kind of followed up after Jabba Chamberlain when he had those lower pitch counts at, you know, 30, 50 pitches. I'm thinking maybe Dan Geis could come in. Jose Veras, who's shown, you know, he's a middle innings guy. He's shown that, you know, he's not that bad. I don't know if Girardi's going to ask Jose Veras, hey, give us 5 or 6 good innings. But if you want a particular person, if you want me to tell you who I think it would be, if it is serious, I would go with Dan Geis as the guy that would replace Chin-Ming Wong. So, Evan, what are your thoughts on, you know, I don't think we heard you speak about the Yankees at all. So what are your whole thoughts on the Yankees, Jabba Chamberlain, and who do you think would be the replacement for Chin-Ming Wong? Let's hear your Yankee rant.
All right. First, before the Yankee rant, Tiger Woods has hit an incredible shot on the 18th hole and needs to sink this putt, which I would guess is about 12 feet away for birdie in order to go into the playoffs. Now, the Yankees, first, Jabba transition. I guess I like it. I'm really not sure. Because when you get to the playoffs time, you're going to need dominant starting pitching, but you're also going to need dominant bullpen. So this pitching wins ball games, and I guess having him in the starting rotation is better if he continues to pitch the way he did the other night. So it's a touchy topic for me. I guess I like it. Hopefully he'll continue to pitch well when he's not on the pitch count. And now, what else is there? Who will replace Wong? I think Geis will. I think Dan Geis will be that guy. He's been shown to be very successful. And even if Ian Kennedy is eligible, I don't think that he, right off the DL, is just going to put him in a game. He couldn't pitch well when he wasn't right off the DL. So I think Dan Geis would be the better choice. But the Yankees have been playing great lately. They're 4 games over 500, 37-33. Most games they've been over 500 all season. It's the first time that they've been over 500 for more than a game this season. And everything just seems like it's starting to click. They're pitching, and another starting pitcher who's been pitching great, Mike Mussino, got his 10th win.
Yes, he did. It's not just me. I mean, Evan knows that I've said for a long time that he would only get 8 wins this season. He only had 11 last year. So now that he's at 10, it's absolutely fantastic. But he's not only performing above my expectations, he's performing above everybody's expectations.
I knew he was going to pitch well.
Okay, he was
going into the season, he was going to have 10 wins.
Okay, well, he's probably going to get
June.
More than that, barring...
In June,
oh,
I said.
So he's performed above everybody's expectations except for Evan. So, Evan, props to you, an excellent job. But, he has 10 wins after having just 11 last year. He's been doing very well. His last outing, he gave up 3 runs in the first inning. And, I see Evan at the edge of his seat. He's watching that golf intently, so we'll get to it.
18th hole in Westwood.
Wait,
oh, my God. The U.S. Open is more important right now. This is a major championship.
All right, go ahead.
And Westwood and Tiger both have relatively very makeable putts. They need to sink it in order to go into a playoff. For the championship, a player who is minus one is waiting and watching to see if he still needs to play. This is very exciting, and Westwood is stepping up to the. He's about to hit. He's away, so he's gonna putt first. How much pressure do you think these people have? How do they do it?
I don't know. I don't know golf well enough. I mean, as in any sport, when you have millions of people watching you and thousands of you watching you live at the event, it's, of course, very nerve-wracking. But we'll get to Evan in a second to get his thought on the following putt. I want to go back to what I said about Mike Mussina, and then we'll get back to Evan Brandoff with his golf update.
Hurry, let's hit it. Go.
All right. Mike Messina performing above expectations, 10 wins. The other day, he gave up 3 runs in the first inning, but those were the only 3 runs he gave up. He ended up settling down after that first inning, which was good by Mike Messina. You know, he's been having a good year. You know, kind of think, is he going to eventually break down? Is he eventually going to have that collapse? And we'll tell you why Evan went in just a second. We'll tell you, you know, you think, will Mike Messina have that collapse? You don't know. And then he gives up 3 runs in the first inning, and you have to give him credit for not letting those 3 runs get to him. And he went on the rest of the game, settled in, and did not allow any more runs and ended up getting the victory. So Mike Messina really doing a good job, and I like the fact that he was able to settle in after that first inning. It didn't let it get to him. So excellent job, Mike Messina, and great job, Evan, bringing it up. Now, Evan, please tell everybody, why did you just go, aww?
I went, aww, because Westwood just missed his putt, and he finishes even. Second place, no matter what. Oh, it could be third place, actually. Just kidding. One stroke behind what he needed to do in order to make the playoffs. And now Tiger is lining up his putt.
I just want to let you know that you do not have to whisper because you are not there, so you could talk at a regular voice. You're watching on TV.
It's still proper etiquette. I hear the people on TV whispering, so I figured I should too.
Well, you are on air, and computer volumes don't go as loud as TV volumes, so speak up for our viewers.
And Tiger is looking at his putt, getting ready. Just his shirt, wearing his red shirt like he always does on Sunday. And his knee must be throbbing right now, but with the adrenaline, I don't even know if he feels it.
All right, so in between the Jabba putt, in between the Tiger putt, let me talk about Shelly Duncan, who was sent down to the minor leagues. Alberto Gonzalez was called up. This was done prior to Friday's game. And I found that move very interesting, to send Shelly Duncan down, not because, you know, he is struggling, for sure. All right, Evan is begging me to tell you about the putt. He's about the putt, so we'll watch that, and then I'll get back to Shelly Duncan. We only have a few minutes remaining in the show. So we wait for the putt. Waiting.
Shut up, Mark. Concentrate.
That's going to come up short, no?
Oh, my God, he got it in. Wow.
All right, so what does that mean?
Now he goes into a playoff for the championship.
Okay.
It's a one-hole playoff. Wow. He is just so incredible. How does he do it under so much pressure? That is the number one athlete in the world right there. Any sport, Tiger Woods. What a champion. What an athlete. Oh, my God.
All right, so
now let's
go back to a player who's not number one in the world, Shelly Duncan. He was sent down, and I found that move interesting because he was sent down, you know, right before interleague play started. And with the Yankees pitchers now having to bat, I thought that Shelly Duncan would be a good guy off the bench to pinch hit. Yes, he's been doing horrible this year off the bench. He was expected to have a great year off the bench, and now he's been sent down twice. But I saw it with interleague play, because the reason Alberto Gonzalez was called up was for defensive purposes. And, you know, I think you would want another offensive player up there during interleague play to pinch hit for the pitcher. So I didn't really understand the move of sending Shelly Duncan down at this time. If you wanted to send him down after interleague play, I wouldn't have a problem with that, because, as I said, he has been struggling. But I thought it was very interesting to send Shelly Duncan down during interleague play, and now you can't use him as a pinch hitter. And today, in the lineup, the Yankees ended up using all 3 catchers. Chad Mueller played, Jorge Posada played, Jose Molina played, because Posada started, and then they used the other guys to come in and pinch hit for pitchers. And, you know, I don't really mind them that much, but I thought that you would keep Shelly Duncan for interleague play. But that pretty much sums up everything for the Yankees and the Mets. Evan, I don't know if you have anything to add about Shelly Duncan. I know you're very excited about the golf. I personally don't watch golf. I couldn't care less. I mean, I am a sports fan, so I'm somewhat intrigued in it. But
you gotta love Tiger Woods. Everyone is a Tiger fan.
I certainly have respect for the guy. I just don't really watch golf. I'm not really a big fan of it, and I know you're excited, but we only have a few minutes remaining in the show, so we'll stick to New York sports for a moment. Do you have anything to add to pretty much anything before we sum up the show?
With Charlie Duncan, I think maybe it could have been his attitude. You know, he has attitude problems off the field, so maybe he did something wrong. I don't know, and he hasn't been doing well at all. The Yankees bench has not been performing, so I guess they felt it's time to make some changes. So I guess maybe that's the reason why they made the move. I'm not sure, but they go into San Diego, and San Diego not very good at all. They have no offense. So hopefully the Yankees can keep their winning streak going. It's at 4 right now. And I was looking at their schedule, and they have a bunch of very beatable teams on their schedule. They have San Diego, then they're playing Cincinnati, I'm excited to watch. There's Jay Bruce, who's been outstanding, and Ken Griffey Jr., always fun to watch. And Ken Griffey Jr., by the way, I would not be surprised if he's a Yankee next season.
I would, because Ken Griffey Jr. has no desire to go to the Yankees because his father, Ken Griffey Sr., was at the Yankees at one point. He was kicked out of the dugout, and there was a whole issue with him. And Ken Griffey Jr. does not want to have anything to do with the New York Yankees. He's come out and said that in the past. I can't see Ken Griffey Jr. as a Yankee. I mean, they already have 4 outfielders, the Yankees. You know,
but I wouldn't see him as an outfielder, as a DH. But the Yankees.
Well, they have plenty of those too. I mean, Giambi. I don't know if he'll be
back.
Would
it be unlike the Yankees to get another batter when they don't need it?
Well, I don't think. I mean, Giambi probably will be gone next season, so they might want to go for another guy. But I don't know if you'll see Ken Griffey Jr. there. I can't see it.
Giambi isn't even DH lately.
I know. It's tough to say. It's really early because we still haven't even played 70 games in this season. It's hard to see who the Yankees will go after next season, at least hitting-wise. I mean, if you want to talk about pitchers they'll try and get, that probably makes a little more sense at this point. Hitting-wise, I think they're okay, so it's hard for me to say who they're going to go for next season. But it would shock me to see Ken Griffey Jr. there. But as for the Cincinnati Reds, the Red Sox kind of have been taking care of the Reds. I think they beat them 9-0 today. It will be fun to watch them, though. You know, Edinson Volquez and, you know, as you said, Jay Bruce, Ken Griffey Jr. So it should be an interesting series. And also, the Padres do have no offense. The Mets, of course, did get swept by them. One of them, you know, Billy Wagner, of course, blowing the save. That started one of his 3 consecutive blown saves. So not really a good job there by Wagner. I mean, after they lost 3 games, you cannot possibly blow a save there and then get swept. That was terrible. But with the Yankees' improvement, they're going into San Diego, or they'll be at home. They're playing San Diego off of a winning streak, so it should be good for them. They do have no offense. They should play well. And I think the Yankees could start moving up the ladder even more over the next couple of weeks.
And what's also impressive about the Yankees is they're over .500 home and away, which is not that common. Even you see the top teams who are way over .500, they still struggle on the road.
Actually, this year is the first time in a long time where all the home teams are winning. The Yankees are okay, but this year a lot of teams are very bad on the road. Everybody's winning at home, it seems like. So it's actually very good. The Yankees are a very rare team this year that they're over .500 on the road and at home. Many teams are very poor on the road, no matter how good they are. It's unbelievable. Like, if you follow sports, you really realize, like, oh my God, nobody can win on the road this year.
Just like the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
It's like no one can win on the road.
It's very noticeable. We have very limited time in the show, so we'll shorten our disclaimer. We don't own anything, voiceovers, musical beds, anything that's on the website. Our guests, what they say doesn't necessarily reflect our opinions. And if anything you wish to remove, sports7withmarkandevin@yahoo.com. Also check out sports7withmarkandevin.webs.com as well as the new myedimedia.com. Almost every day I blog about the New York Yankees. So definitely check up on that. And we'll be back next week, same time, same place, same great show, Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan live out of Jericho. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Brandoff. See you next week.
See you next week. Also, this year's the anniversary of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and so that's pretty cool. This is the 100th anniversary. So we leave you with that fact. Goodbye.